It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalan? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, that's good, because now I've started.
Okay.
Oh, remember when I said it wasn't red before?
Yeah.
Apparently it's just always red when you're recording, but not when you're playing.
Oh, I see.
So that was useless information.
Okay. I shall delete it from my memory.
Hi, everybody. I have no idea how to run sound equipment. hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that syncs up perfectly with the guitar solo from Sister Christian. Just the guitar solo.
Everything else is
Totally is off when they're singing.
Huh.
But every episode.
Every single matches one, up.
Huh? If you can get a loop of the guitar solo,
mm-hmm.
play it, it syncs up perfect.
Well, that's quite an interesting coincidence.
Not a coincidence. We planned it that way.
We did?
Yes.
Oh.
I did.
I guess.
Apparently, I thought you were... apparently, you just weren't even listening during those conversations.
I don't go...
You seemed weirdly receptive.
You don't invite me to the business meeting.
This was not a business... This was a creative meeting. You were there.
I've never been to a creative meeting.
Ever? In your life?
Not any with you.
Anyway.
I think you were drunk.
Well, I'm assuming.
Okay.
I said creative.
All right.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 110.
110. Yes. I did say it right. I guessed today that it was 110 when mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody
yep.
about the podcast.
Born Binary episode 5. I think.
What?
Wait, that's backwards.
I was going to say.
Whatever the binary is for 110, but 110, I think, is 5, isn't it?
2 and 2 and 1. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. Well, wait, no. Wait. God damn it.
Sorry. I don't even know why I brought that up.
Isn't it 2?
2? No, 2 would be 10. And 3 would be 11, I think. And then... Isn't that how it goes?
Okay, so the first is... So we basically do a 1's place of 2. Okay, so if it's that, then it would be 3 plus 2... Yeah, it would be 5.
Okay.
I am confident somebody out there is better, who listens to this podcast, is better at binary than we are. So
probably.
Tell us how wrong we are, please,
probably.
On the blog. But I should get a little
sorry
more
sorry for
into,
even bringing that up. I'm sorry.
For those of you playing the drinking game at home, take a drink every time William apologizes for something he brings up.
I don't want to be responsible for people drinking.
Well, then stop apologizing. And several other things, actually. We should give you a copy of the list so you know what not to do. But then we just switch the drinking game to every time you don't do those things.
Yeah,
so you can't win. Anyway, for those of you brand new to this phenomenon that is the Magical Talking Hat podcast, we have a hat. It's magic. Has its own email. You can write to that email, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You can write whatever you want. Question, comment, topic, whatever. The hat takes those and turns them into little tiny cards inside of it. Magically. We draw those out at random and talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole premise of the show. If it sounds boring to you, it is. And you should stop now. If it doesn't sound boring to you, you're one of us. Congratulations. So it's actually just been a week this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. How was your week?
sorry, it was okay.
Are you growing a beard, or are you just being lazy?
I don't know yet.
You cut a very good beard when you grow one.
No,
I don't. Yes, you do.
No.
Your beard comes out. It is nicely positioned. It is. Its level of fullness is nice and evenly spread. You look very good with a beard, but you can't. You don't have the endurance.
Mm.
You wimp out with the itching.
Yeah, with the itching. I don't like the itching.
I don't mind
the swelling.
That might be the dirtiest thing I've ever heard you say.
That was from David Letterman. There was a period of time where he was trying to get to create these catchphrases that would sweep the nation. Or
yes.
And that was one of the candidates. I can't stand the itching, but I don't mind the swelling.
But it didn't
catch on.
But I can attest, the beard eventually gets far enough along it doesn't itch anymore.
I don't know.
Anyway, how was your week?
It was fine. I saw Defiance.
Oh, you watched it. Yeah. We have it on the DVR. We haven't watched it. Let me guess. Very mediocre.
Well, I don't know if that's what I would say, but that probably is a suitable description as any other.
Are you going to keep watching?
I really don't know. The reason I started, we decided to watch the pilot, this was after it aired, you know, when it was online, was because I read a little bit about the background and the story and everything.
Yes. As you stop messing up the mics.
And it sounded like, the story sounded like it was going to be kind of a cross between Mass Effect and Fallout.
A little bit. I think that's being way generous, but yeah.
Yeah, well.
In basic setting concepts, it does seem like that.
Yeah, and so there seemed to be something kind of fascinating about that. So we watched it, and it wasn't awful, but it didn't, you know, pull you over. And, of course, that one actress who played H.G. Wells in Warehouse 13, what's her name?
Oh, I don't know, but I know who you're talking about.
Well, she's in it.
Oh!
And I had heard that she wasn't going to be on Warehouse 13 so much, and I was hoping that was just a rumor. But it was said that she wasn't going to be on Warehouse 13 so much, and that there was some other show that was going to...
Are you caught up on Warehouse 13?
Caught up?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose so. I mean...
All right. H.G. Wells has not shown up that often for
a while. No, that's right. She hasn't.
I mean...
But that she would... that she... Like, she wouldn't be in the show at all, I'm saying. And yes, you're right. She hasn't been in there very often lately. But a lot of people who were hoping that there'd be a lot done with her character, somehow it got out that there wasn't going to be very much else done, and she wouldn't be in the show, and that some other show was going to take up her attention. But I thought that was just a rumor. I could never find out what the show was. But she's in this show, so I take it this is the show that they were talking about.
And I'm guessing the character is not nearly as impressive as H.G. Wells.
Not to me. But
yeah.
But
for those who don't watch Warehouse 13, we'll spare you the details, but their character is a woman who is secretly the actual H.G. Wells. She wrote all the stories and everything, mm-hmm. and she's a genius. And her brother took the credit because a woman couldn't get away with that back then. And she plays a really impressive, very strong female character.
Yeah, good, great character. In fact,
one of those characters that is rarely seen. Not in that it was a spectacular part or that she's a spectacular actress. It was very competent, but it's just the type of female role you don't get to see very much.
Well, and they're actually going to spin it off into her own show.
Ooh.
For a while.
That would have been nice.
In fact, one of the episodes of Warehouse 13, as I was watching it, it looked so different from the regular show that I told the people I was watching with, this looks like they're setting this up for her own show. And then later they said, yeah, that's what they were doing.
That's what that was, but we'll have to talk later about what I don't want to spoil things for people who may or may not be watching it.
It's pretty obvious what it was. Cause
I don't remember it.
Well, there was some flashbacks, and there was another character, kind of a sidekick of hers.
Oh, yeah.
And they did so much to establish that relationship and that whole thing that it seemed really unusual, kind of like it was two shows instead of one, almost like it was a crossover show is what it felt
like, yeah.
Even though that other show didn't yet exist. And so I told some friends of mine, this sounds like they're doing a spinoff.
That is how they used to do those.
But obviously,
they would have an episode in the show that was mostly about whatever the spinoff was, and that would be the start.
Right, but they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Which I find very disappointing because I liked H.G. Wells' character. I liked how she interacted with the character Micah, in the show, and I was really looking forward to see what was going to happen with those characters in that story, but now it won't go anywhere. So that's sad to realize is the case. But the show itself was okay. The lead male actor is someone I've seen in a few other things that I've never really cared for him, and in this show he doesn't impress me either. But
he has that straightforward lantern jawed male kind of deal. I don't know.
Not that interesting.
We'll watch it next week, I'm sure, because we're going to be gone this weekend.
We'll probably, you know, give it a chance, I suppose, because there's something fascinating about the plot and the story that led us to watching it.
They seem to be trying really hard.
Well, I thought it was actually quite clever, everything that they...
I don't mean smacking of desperation. I mean, the network seems to be putting a lot of effort into the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, and of course...
Which means, even if it sucks at the beginning, the effort might pay off. So it might be worth a little while.
You know, the MMO was launched at the same time.
Which, unfortunately, apparently is really bad.
Oh, really? Because the review I heard said that there were technical problems in terms of connection. It was buggy, they said, which was a problem. But the actual game itself, when it was working, which admittedly wasn't very often, and they lamented that. But they gave it credit where credit was due, and they thought it was actually...
Well, we'll have to see that. I mean, my sources were limited on that.
Well, the one thing that they really liked was a kind of a different way of leveling up. You know, there doesn't seem to be a way for you to level up so much that you're just killing everything all over the place. And yet they talked about there being kind of a unique way of handling that they thought was very clever. Mm. And they also thought that the gameplay, when it was working, was pretty fun.
For those unfamiliar, again, they're taking a step here, this show, where they released an MMO game April 2nd, I believe. And then the show premiered April 15th, and supposedly, they're both set in the exact same spot, basically. And supposedly, the two are greatly going to inform each other in terms of plot. Things that happen in the MMO will affect the show. Things that happen in the show will affect the MMO, supposedly. We're going for some hardcore multi-platform synergy shit here. Which has been attempted before and never been successful, so we'll see what happens.
It has been attempted before? I didn't know that.
It's a various degree. I don't know that this specific version, but, you know, online games to match, alternate reality games, stuff like that, various tie-ins. It's happened a lot in the role-playing community, and the one that always stands to mind for me is Legend of the Five Rings is a role-playing game and a collectible card game, and it's... similar to, it's very much a feudal Japan vibe to it. It's a fantasy game, but it's that kind of vibe. And there's like clans and stuff. And depending on how things would go at certain tournaments, that would actually impact the story in the role-playing game going forward and stuff like that.
Well, let's see. Also, somehow I got caught up in following the release of Injustice and all the hoopla around that. You know, the fighting game Injustice. It's a... Do you know what I'm talking about?
I will as soon as you remind me.
It's made by... Anyway, Injustice is... it's a fighting game with the Justice League people mostly in it. Superman, Batman.
Oh, I've heard about this just barely in passing.
Yeah, it was... Somehow
the other day, I kind of went down the Wikipedia DC Comics rabbit hole for a few hours.
Yeah,
it showed up in passing.
It was released Monday... I believe, and there was a whole 2-month ramp up to it where they had like brackets and people voted on who they wanted, what matchups they wanted to win in the kind of a tournament type thing. Yeah. And Batman and Superman ended up fighting at the end.
Shocking.
Batman won. Oh yeah.
Not surprised there either.
But what bothered me about that whole thing is this. First of all, I guess there were 18 people in the whole bracket. Only 3 of them were female.
Of course.
And the first matchup had 2 of the women against each other, which meant that one woman
was going to
go out right away. Also, when Wonder Woman was eliminated when she fought Batman, and apparently the votes were way against her. I mean, big time against her. Mm.
Batman fans are crazy.
But,
for those of you hearing a door opening, the producer has just returned home from her incredibly relaxing yoga. Do you hear her sounding so relaxed?
I hear the serenity.
Serenity now.
But then when he was going to face Superman, right?
Yes.
So there was a big debate, course, as there always is, who's going to win?
Yes.
Batman or Superman. But all of the things, all of the rationale they gave for Superman winning could have applied also to Wonder Woman. And all of the weaknesses they you know, ascribed to Superman that Batman could exploit, Wonder Woman doesn't have. So given the fact that the debate was so fierce and the vote was so close between Batman and Superman, it sort of makes one wonder, why was there not similar debate about Batman and Wonder Woman, and why was the vote not close?
Because there is rampant sexism in not only the comic book industry and comic books, but also in a huge demographic of the comic book fans.
Now,
and also that, and strictly speaking, Superman has an assload more hardcore fans than Wonder Woman. Of the sort that would engage
in that kind of
online debate and voting over who would win in a fight.
I find that all kind of very disappointing.
It's very sad, but I find it terribly unsurprising.
I mean, as much as I liked a healthy debate regarding Batman and Superman.
Yes.
Because I love both.
Or Superman versus Jesus is a good one, too.
Did I ever tell you that the Kansas location of Smallville was not where Smallville was?
I believe you mentioned that twice on the air.
Oh, on the air I did?
Let alone however many times
I just think that's such a cool little thing, because I never knew that for so long. But I love both of these characters, and so I love debates about them and who's going to win. And, of course, I do always favor Batman in a fight between the two for reasons that are probably obvious. And so I thought it was pretty cool.
You guys at home can't see him wearing the cape and the ears,
but
I would understand.
I would, if Wonder Woman could have made it to the end round, even if she wasn't facing Batman, even if she was facing Superman, I would have liked to see that too, because that just doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, clearly the only reason she didn't go further in this tournament thing was because, yeah, it's just sexism. That's the only reason there can be.
It's not wrong. However, the only reason anyone went anywhere was up. How do I put this? It was a popularity contest.
No,
William.
I realized that.
It was not a genuine weighing of.
But why should the male characters be more popular than the female characters?
Because the whole thing is set up sexist.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
It's always been there. But I mean, there was no rational argument. Not only was there obviously no rational argument to Wonder Woman versus Batman, there was no rational argument to Superman versus Batman.
No, you're right. But there was a rationale.
Yes.
That if it were applied and there's no reason it couldn't or shouldn't
absolutely
have been.
Absolutely.
It would have had a similar result.
But it wasn't technically applied in either case.
I suppose.
I'm just telling you, comic book fans are terrible, is what I'm saying. They're awful people. We need to cleanse the world.
Well, and
of
you
them.
Know, there's also the video game culture too, which that's a whole other interesting thing. I've been watching video responses to Anita, what's her name? Anita, she does feminist.
The feminist frequency lady, yeah.
To her first installment.
Has she done her second yet? I'm really waiting for a second.
She did the first one, and there's a lot of video responses to
yes, and most of them are not pleasant. And to be honest, even the people like me who pretty much like it, I have issues with it.
Well, and I did too. And a lot
I do not think it was done well.
Well,
I agree with the argument. I understand what she's trying to say,
yeah.
And I don't think she's wrong. I do not think she did this well.
I completely agree. It wasn't, you know, especially for something that there was a lot of money raised to do it, you would expect the quality would have been a little bit better. And most of the criticisms are actually valid. But there's also a whole lot of people completely missing the point.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, we had that stuff when she was raising the money.
No, that's true.
She got nasty, nasty threats then, too.
And at least half, and maybe more, of the critics are women who, some of them are making very good points, but a lot of them are also sort of saying she's asserting things she's not asserting.
I think there's a weird defensiveness involved. Because, contrary to belief at large, a whole lot of women grew up playing these video games from an early age, just like all the guys that, you know, did. And to some of them, pointing out this thread, going back to very early in the whole video game run, is in some ways they feel judging them.
Of course, Anita used to play these games too.
Well, and there's some argument as to how much she was involved in that, which I think is a spurious line they've gone down.
And
but
she,
yeah,
she explicitly says that just because these things are in video games doesn't mean we can't enjoy them. Or,
but in the same token, just because she says that doesn't mean people don't see that kind of stuff and no, feel.
I understand
that, that's a thing.
But it, and a lot of the people that are criticizing her, I notice they have a lot of posts criticizing feminism in general, and some of these people are also, by some coincidence, I guess, atheists. Is there some correlation between being an atheist and being anti-feminist?
I think it's I probably because than... God's a woman.
Oh, okay.
And so,
I just
you don't
that's...
believe in one, you know.
I just thought that was kind of interesting that I noticed, you know, once, okay, you know, this atheist happens not to like feminists, so what? But like three or four times,
like
I noticed this.
Yeah,
I thought, what kind of correlation is there between being an atheist and being?
There's a creeping variable we're missing here. I don't know what it is, but it's something. There's something about this process that is drawing in both anti-feminists and atheists,
well,
and so we're getting a lot of overlap.
Here's what I think it is: atheists, many times, especially the ones who are going to be on YouTube and they're going to be, you know, sort of. Attacking religion or maybe not so much attacking religion, but defending their own view or whatever. They tend to also be very sensitive to any claims that are made that aren't backed up by facts or evidence.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the way a lot of these people attack the feminist thing is they're not really attacking feminism. They're attacking certain claims or certain statements made by people who call themselves feminists or who these people the atheists themselves label as feminists for some reason. I'm not sure. I suppose because whatever they're saying is in defense of women or whatever, that are crazy. I mean, anybody, even a feminist, would look at these statements and say, "Yeah, that doesn't make any sense."
Yeah.
And instead of addressing that person making this ridiculous claim, you know, like video that one of the atheist guys who was railing against feminism did was. There was a show on, it's kind of like The View, but it's on ABC or something.
The talk or the
something
chat
like
or
that,
something,
yeah.
I remember. And Julie Chen got her husband to give her a talk show.
Okay, well, apparently right after something in the news where a woman, a guy told his wife he was going to get a divorce and she cut off his penis and put it in a garbage disposal or something.
Wow, that's been happening more and more.
And, well, this might have been some time ago. But Sharon Osbourne was on the show, and she talked about how wonderful that was, or awesome that was, or whatever. I mean, she tempered it with saying it was a horrible thing, and she shouldn't have done it. But she said it was marvelous in some other kind of way, or something. And the audience is laughing, and he of course was outraged by this, and started talking about how, you know, if we lived in a world where men sat around talking about how they could, you know, maim and disfigure a woman, and then sit around laughing about it. You know, men can't get by with that. And I remember thinking, I thought we did live in a world
yes,
where that
we
happens.
We totally live in a world where that happens.
We make whole films where that happens
yes.
and we don't even worry about it.
Yes. There's entire, multiple genres of pop culture built around
but,
that
But
kind
he
of
was
shit.
Taking this one event that doesn't have anything to do with feminist thought or feminist
no.
anything. And he was using it to suggest that we live in a culture that is anti-man, you know, and women can get away with anything. They can say anything they want, but men are the ones that are, you know, you can talk
yeah.
about men being mutilated and their organs being thrown into a garbage disposal and everybody thinks it's funny. Well, no, that was a, anyway, this is the kind of thing that
and this
is.
And this is a baseline argument that I stopped having years ago. I pretty much refuse to have the argument anymore. I can't. I can't go back to first principles that way. I basically tell myself, you are living in a different society from me, and you need to stay over in your society.
What I find interesting about it, and incidentally, I find a lot more of this anti-feminist stuff on YouTube than I see anything else.
Oh, of course.
And so what it strikes me as being is it's just like when Christians are talking about the war on Christmas.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah, no, it's the same, the exact same concept.
I mean, these people genuinely think they're being persecuted or that this thing is being threatened for real, and it clearly isn't. I mean, there's just no way. And that's what some of these people sound like. Look like they're like, oh my gosh, we're being threatened. And then they're
or
just...
people who grew up that the producer's listening. She's going to get mad. People who grew up in homes where their parents owned guns and nobody ever shot anybody. And therefore they believe it's totally fine. And really, with any nice, normal people, guns are never going to be an issue, and it's always fine to have them around.
Don't get me started on guns.
I know, but it's the same thing. You're creating your own definitions, and on top of that, you're judging society based on your very specific personal experience.
Which everybody does to some degree, but it's yeah, just
but,
an issue
but
of...
But no, but you can't do that. I can't sit here and say, you know, everybody... Anything. Everybody was teased for being fat as when they were growing up. There we go. There's one for you. I can't base the world.
No, that's right.
Or even suggest the world be based around the concept that all children yeah. were bullied for being fat growing up. I know it's an issue.
Yeah.
But I know there's a lot of kids that in their formative years did not have that and had other things going on mm-hmm. that affected them in other ways
right.
and potentially need to be dealt with in addition to or instead of. Like and that's a really simple one. Like there's so like, well, you know, I've never been raped.
Well, that's a good thing.
I can't then determine. Let's even say, for argument's sake, this is not the case with me. But let's say nobody, to my knowledge, that I know has ever been raped. To my knowledge,
right?
I can't then assume. Oh no, that's not a common thing. That doesn't really
but
happen.
But you're right, that's what a lot of people do.
Absolutely.
They think because they've never experienced this, that, or the other thing.
Or nobody's ever talked to them about it personally.
Well, and privilege is like that.
Absolutely.
The example that...
I've never seen women ostracized or beaten or actively seen a woman of equal qualification lose out on a job to a man. And therefore, I don't think it's a really thing, but I have seen people give guys shit for being guys. Therefore, guys are being persecuted, and women are fine.
it's funny because in one video I watched, they totally reversed the whole thing with the damsel in distress by pointing out that the damsel is often the queen of her realm, or because she's been kidnapped, the whole realm starts to decline, and she's this great, powerful figure. And
probably because of her great nurturing energy.
And at the end of the game, everyone's celebrating her rescue, but the poor hero who did all that work is forgotten. I thought, wow, that is something else to, you know, take that whole thing and flip it around.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, there's some good points in there about the female characters and what they're really like. For example, some person made the argument that they're not only objects because they're important to the story and they usually do have this power.
They are extremely impressive props.
Well, but granted, like you were saying, it's almost always some feminine nurturing
thing.
Well,
and they're MacGuffins. They're total MacGuffins. Well, they're props and they're MacGuffins.
Right. But
the point is, this thing, which happens to be a chick, is very important. Doesn't matter why. Now she gone.
No, I right.
So go get her.
But I just think the whole thing is interesting, but sometimes a little bit scary too to see all this and the way these people are arguing and contradicting themselves a lot too. It's really interesting to watch someone like one woman in her video she was saying there is no sexism in video games at all, and then just 2 minutes later was talking about how, you know, sexism's part of our culture. Like, well, wait a minute. Is it in the video game or is it not in the video game?
There is no culture in our video games.
Well, that's kind of what's being argued, that somehow these are being made in a vacuum and culture has nothing to do with it. You know, they'll say things like, well, no, the video game makers, they're just lazy. They're not even thinking about it. Well,
see, and
that's not saying there's no culture. That's talking to the culture precisely.
You find this very interesting and amusing. I find the movie Queen of Versailles very interesting and amusing. You find that movie really kind of depressing and chilling. I find this really kind of depressing and chilling.
No, I mean, I'm speaking of it in a way that makes it sound like I'm amused, but quite frankly, while I'm looking at it, I get kind of upset, actually. I mean, my goddaughter's there, and I have her watching with me, and we talk about what's wrong with these arguments. You know, some of the things are valid, and we point that out, and that, you know, things that Anita should have done differently. But so much of it is so backwards and contradictory. It's
and there's
really
just so many things.
Stunning.
Arguing on the internet is always pointless. Also, these counterexamples and you know what doesn't matter. Pretty much, if every video game is doing the same thing in terms of some sort of gender slant or age slant or race slant, mm-hmm. if they're all doing it, that's probably not a good thing. No matter what it is,
right? Well, but
the fact that we don't have variety, like,
well,
says something.
The biggest thing
or
is
the fact that we are heavily skewed in one direction.
The biggest thing that you hear over and over again is people saying that Anita is saying that there's some conspiracy or that people are sitting in,
yes,
in
it's
dark
called
rooms
Western culture
deciding all these things, and she's not saying that at all. What I think she's saying anyway is that these things are so, like you said, it's Western culture. These things are so ingrained in how we think and how we do things that, no, they don't think about it.
It's
it
also why every superhero
right
in every comic book has to have a woman die before he becomes a badass.
Well, and of course they brought up that, oh, there's buff men too. I mean, it goes both ways. That's a big one too. It goes both ways. And I'm always amazed by that argument because, first of all, just on the surface of it, exploiting everybody equally is no solution. But also, it's, you know, we live in a culture where men have a different status than women. So putting a scantily clad, you know, buff guy or whatever in a video game has a completely different cultural impact,
yes,
than doing the same thing with a woman.
Who was, I want to say it was questionable content. It might have been Girls with Slingshots. I don't remember. I should look it up and put it in the show notes. I probably will not. It's a webcomic that did a great bit one time. I think Lisa had sent it to me. Where some guy is arguing that the ridiculous sexualized, you know, stereotypes of women in comics, it goes both ways, because men are like that too, you know, the impossibly buff and strong or whatever. And he's talking to this woman, and she says, no, but see, that's not the female ideal. And she starts sketching it, and she's like, you know, the ideal Batman would have a lithe figure, and he'd have sort of full kissable lips, and she draws this whole picture, and the guy looks at it, and he's like, this makes me uncomfortable. And she says the best line I've ever heard, welcome to the background noise of my entire life.
Oh, that's excellent.
I thought it was brilliant.
That's excellent.
In fact, I should find it again and put it up on my wall at work. I loved that.
That's excellent.
Because I just thought it was so insightful. I mean, it was hilarious, but it was also, it made a really good point that has been really hard to make.
Well, but
there's a lot of stuff that I'm just like, I don't even know how to explain it,
but
because it seems so self-evident to me.
But here's the thing I realized, and you said it's pointless to argue these things on the internet. What makes it pointless is there's one unspoken thread that connects all of these people to one another, and that is what they won't say, but you could probably get them to admit if you had them alone and you kind of showed them how their arguments don't make sense and they're contradictory and sort of forced them to nail down what their argument really is.
Mm-hmm.
What I think they would all admit is that that there are stereotypes in video games and movies and everything else, and that they agree with those stereotypes is what it comes down to. One commentator, she almost admitted it. What she said was, she said in the story, you know, and this person's being rescued. Who doesn't want to be rescued? I mean, what's wrong with that? Who doesn't want to be rescued? And then she talked about being a hero. Everybody wants to be a hero. Men and women both want to be heroes. But of course, you know,
yeah,
when she said who doesn't want to be rescued, it was very clear she was speaking as a woman and not speaking for men. And that was emphasized by the fact that when she talked about heroes, she mentioned both men and women,
yeah,
but not,
yeah,
in relation to their being rescued. So on some level, all of these people, not only would they acknowledge these stereotypes exist, but they would probably insist they're not actually stereotypes because they're true. And that's really what it comes down to.
Well, it becomes the thing. People don't want to think that they're a product of culture either.
Well, yeah, that's right.
And
that's
ultimately,
right,
that's what we're talking,
yep,
about,
yep,
here.
That's right. People don't want to think, oh, I know culture says that, but that's not affecting me. One commentator insisted that game developers they're not sexist or misogynist. They're just not. So therefore, these games can't, I mean, it was just a bare assertion, like this person had talked to all these game developers,
yeah,
and knew them all personally, and and could conclude, since they're not sexist or misogynistic, therefore these video games can't be, which that was completely absurd. I was amazed that she was making this argument.
But again, this is not the conversation that would exist even with these same people in a room together.
That's right.
Arguments on the internet are ridiculous. When somebody disagrees with you in person, they disagree with you. When somebody disagrees with you on the internet, they hope you get cancer twice.
Isn't that weird?
It's yeah.
But I know why it happens.
There's been some interesting debate over that. Actually, the Penny Arcade guy made some interesting things. The people say anonymity plus plus attention or whatever equals dumbass or something. And then people have said maybe it's not necessarily anonymity so much as lack of consequence and other stuff.
All those things help a person be less inhibited, but none, those things aren't causing it. What's causing it is these people feel like they're afraid to express themselves in a thousand different ways all day long, in their jobs, with their significant other, with their friends. And so when they get into a space where all of the things that in their life that assist that constraint, being in the presence with somebody else, being able to be readily identified and located, all yeah. these things are gone, well, then all of that frustration that they hold back in the course of a normal day, they just let it loose.
And I think there's a certain amount, too, of disregard because, you know, there's consequences if I say something really shitty to a person. Consequences if I say something really shitty on an internet forum, you know? If I don't ever bother to go back, who cares?
Yeah, but you still have to explain why you would want to say that.
I mean, when you're thinking, when you're about to say something,
right.
In real world, you might stop a little more and say, but this time it's like, let's send it out there.
No,
you know?
You're right. You're absolutely
and
right.
I have done that myself on forums. I have many times written something, deleted the whole thing, or written something, like saved it as a draft and said, let's wait till tomorrow. And tomorrow I was like, that was a terrible idea. Don't do that.
Well, that's a good practice.
And it's a rarity even for me. So,
I really didn't mean to take up so much time with this because now we haven't talked about it.
Yeah, I don't get a week.
Well, what did you do? A lot of stuff.
What did I do?
Didn't you even know what you were going to talk about?
I knew one thing. I thought I had more stuff than that. Still playing New Vegas. I'm in like 120 hours, I think, now.
I'm in the third DLC,
and the third DLC is far and away the silliest and the filthiest one I've experienced in a Fallout game.
Okay.
I have never heard the word penis so many times in a video game.
I don't think we had any of the DLCs
for New Vegas. It's really kind of impressive, and it's really kind of cool, and it has an amazing voice cast. They've got the guy who did Brain and Pinky and the Brain.
Oh.
They've got the guy who did Dr. Venture in Venture Brothers.
Oh,
they got the guy who did Captain Quark in Ratchet and Clank. they got a couple other big ones in there. It's amazing.
Huh.
And it's very, very silly and weird. And yeah, it's really fun. work is going crazy. I'm in something of a transitional period. I'm sort of getting some training / orientation / development in new areas, mostly dealing with accessibility and accommodation for test taking and things like that. So, like, I mean, the simple version of that is having tests so blind students can take them things like that.
Right.
But it's a whole large thing, and I'm supporting that, and I'm learning more and more about that. I recently had to watch a couple of documentaries sort of to start off with to give me an introduction, and watched one of them today, and it really was... The first one was very uplifting about this adorable kid with cerebral palsy and inclusion in classes and a look at all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one today was much more disconcerting and ended with me watching several short films on young people who had ended up in prison and how they might have avoided that.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've discovered I really shouldn't be watching them at work, even though that was the instruction, because it's really hard to have people coming over to you constantly needing photocopies and scans and stuff while you're watching the cutest 24-year-old girl talk about her emotionally abusive relationship over the phone with a guy that eventually led to him murdering her mom and her helping.
Oh my god.
That's a real fun thing at work. Jeez. They drop that bomb on me.
Jeez.
And then somebody's like, oh, I need you to scan all the pages with the... Like, I was so... Oh.
Wow.
I was such a mess this afternoon.
That is awful.
But possibly worse than that, last night, saw a movie.
Oh, what was that?
Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh. Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did, the producer said.
Who do you?
And I forget who's in that with his...
Gerard Butler. It's Die Hard at the White House.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, you watched that?
Trish took us. Huh. Because Trish thought it would be fun to just watch a mindless action movie.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Not this time.
Oh, I see.
And I couldn't really explain why. And then today I happened to go to AV Club and look at their review. They gave it a D, by the way. Mm-hmm. And they hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. It has all... Because I kept saying... It's trying to be serious, but it wasn't really, but it had some of that vibe. And I'm like, I like a stupid action movie when it's totally over the top and, like, nothing is serious. And you're like, oh, my God, they really just, did that guy really just pick up a helicopter and throw it at some, you know, just crazy, crazy shit. And I'm like, but when they try to be dramatic and stuff and build tension, it's just ridiculous. And, but AV Club hit the nail on the head. When you use the president... It all becomes about the fate of the free world. And stuff that would be silly and dumb in other action movies just looks patently ridiculous. because there's concern. Like, it's not, you know, it's not guys stealing millions of dollars from some bank and, you know, John McClane has to save them. It's all the nuclear missile codes for the whole country and everybody's going to die. And it's,
right.
And so it suddenly becomes a big thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, and this movie had so many long, long shots of the American flag in various states of disrepair and repair. We saw it get shot. We saw it fall down. We saw it when it was lifted up at the end. Spoiler alert, good guys win. It was weirdly sort of uber patriotic and quasi racist all at once. And for some reason, all the North Korean terrorists kind of looked like Latino gang members. I don't know what that was about. And yeah, and just had all the stupid lines and shit that you get in any movie like this. I mean, and all the cliches. Oh my god, our hero. Well, he's trying to make amends for shit that happens bad in the beginning of the movie, and then we skip ahead now so he can redeem himself. Has a wife. Who's kind of mad at him, and they're going to make up, but then things happen. But later, they find they love each other. You know, sound familiar?
So,
So,
don't go see it? Is that
oh, my
advice?
God.
You're giving away everything!
Sorry, spoilers on Olympus Has Fallen. It's like every other... Oh, and I'm just going to say this. And this is absolutely a spoiler. So be prepared, people. This is an Olympus Has Fallen spoiler. If, in your opening prelude, you have a guy who does nothing, really. He's there for like 2 minutes of, I mean, 2 lines of banter and doesn't show up again and is gone and then happens to come back when the plot really starts in a seemingly random and arbitrary way. And that person happens to be being played by Dylan McDermott, it might become a plot point.
Maybe.
He might be of more significance than he seems.
Yeah, yeah. That's a red flag should be going off.
It was hilarious because I knew, well, and that's the thing too. I didn't think I was ever going to see it. I went to the movie spoiler and I read the whole thing about a week ago because I'm like, oh, action movie, what's their weird plot or whatever. And so part of me was like, does it seem this ridiculous? If you don't know what's... And I only sort of remembered, but I'm like, I kind of know how this goes. And I asked Trish afterwards, I'm like, did it make that little sense? Was it that stupid? And she's like, oh, yeah, no, definitely.
It makes me... All this makes me want to... This is kind of changing the subject, but I want to ask you if you are going to see, when it comes out, if you're going to see R.I.P.D. Have you heard of this movie?
R.I.P.D.?
Yeah. It's based on a comic.
Of course it is.
R.I.P.D. Jeff Bridges and what's the guy's name who played Green Lantern?
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, are in it together.
That's a good start for me. I like both of them.
You should see the preview, and I won't say anything about it. I'll let you find the preview. And
oh, also, this movie, I think it's R-rated, serious action, violent, manly movie. Man. Had a lot of previews, very much along those lines, and a preview for Monsters University. We're like, what the? And Trisha's like, Disney just pays them to put it in every single movie.
Sure.
Has a previews for this. Yeah, so that was not so much. I feel like more happened in my week. I don't remember. Got so distracted by sexism.
Sorry. I'm doing that more and more lately. I need to stop.
Distracting just, people with sexism?
No, you asked me how my week is. I never have anything interesting to
say. I talked about having finished BSG, right?
So, no.
Didn't I?
I don't think so. So I should just say nothing. But I always say I should do that, and then I don't. So I don't even know why I think.
Well, no, sometimes you do, but what you need is that sweet spot, because it's equally bad when say, "How was your week?" and you say, "Nothing happened."
Like,
you need to find the nice in between.
I guess.
Yeah, no, I thought I talked about we finished BSG.
Oh wait, maybe you did. You might have.
We did.
Okay. Yes, I think.
Yeah, because I said everybody told me how awesome it was, and as soon as I told them I finished, everybody wanted to talk about what particular things they hated.
Well, and your overall impression
enjoyed
still
it.
Positive.
I enjoyed it a lot. When I had a real talk with somebody recently about it, they liked the first two seasons, and they were very mad that it changed in the third and fourth, in their opinion. And I will agree with them that I think what the show was and what the show was about did change drastically for the last two seasons as opposed to the first two. That being said, I liked it all.
Yeah, I thought it worked. When I watched it the second time, some of the issues I had with it the first time really weren't.
I'm not willing to take the time because it's so fucking huge, but someday I do want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Knowing where we're going, I want to see it.
It is a very different experience.
And it almost made me want to watch Caprica. Not enough that I'm going to, but it almost made me.
Well, I was disappointed when Caprica ended, but I thought it was okay. But no, well.
I know. I believe Stu also felt that way, but I think you two were the only people in the world.
Apparently.
All right, we should get to the hat because we got almost no time. Oh, and I don't have to go to the gym after this because I already went to the gym before this.
I see.
That's why I'm dressed this way.
Craig asks.
Craig from originally Scotland.
What unusual pet would you like to own?
Ezzy. No, that's not true. I don't want to own Ezzy.
I'm not a pet person.
You are not a pet person.
No. We had dogs and cats on the farm when I was growing up, which I think, you know, we considered pets.
But really they were for food.
We interacted with them when we felt like it. And for the most part, they took care of themselves. And I don't know. Having a pet, say, in the house. I had a frog once. That I really liked. Now, this was fairly recently. This is in my adult life. I had a frog, and I kind of enjoyed having the frog.
Did you ever understand a single word he said?
No.
Did you help him drink his wine?
Nope, he didn't make any wine.
Did he always have some mighty fine wine?
I think it was a she. Didn't make wine. But
I don't think this was really a frog.
But the frog didn't, you know, live very
Is this going to be one of those MASH things where it turns out the frog was a baby?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just a frog, and it didn't live very long, and after that, I wasn't inclined to go get any new frogs.
Me neither.
So I can't even make anything up because I have really no interest in having a pet whatsoever.
When I was little, like all young people wanted a monkey.
You wanted a monkey?
Yeah, totally wanted a monkey.
No.
Since then, I have opted not for a monkey. I do not think it would go well.
All children.
Yes, I'm making the generalization. I stand by it.
That doesn't apply to me.
Yes. I was just daring you to say.
I'm not going to say it.
Not me. I've always been... if there weren't apparently a smell issue, I always thought ferrets seemed cool. Mm. And a hedgehog. I saw a hedgehog. I've known people who've had hedgehogs, and they seem kind of cool.
Well, there was one type of animal on the farm that I enjoyed watching, and it was almost like they were our pets because they lived there in the barn, and they were there every year, and, you know, I enjoyed watching them just as much as I enjoyed watching the dogs and the cats. Although I have to say, we've talked about this before, I enjoyed watching the cats a lot more. If between dogs and cats, I'm probably a cat person. I mean, if I was going to have a pet.
As he seems to think so.
Yeah. But I used to watch the barn swallows because they were amazing flyers. And they seemed to fly just for pleasure. I mean, it looked like that anyway. And they would dart in and out of the windows and the little holes in the side of this old barn that we had. And when the cats would go out into the barnyard, they'd like, you know, dive peck them on the head and nice. Stuff. I mean, it was, and they looked so cool in the air because they have those, barn swallows have those forked tails, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that great profile on their wings. And I could just sit there and watch them fly all day long. And there's barn swallows in the park near where we live. Especially when it's windy outside, they skim the pond for bugs.
Well.
And their flying is amazing. I just think barn swallows are just great. I would never own one, but I suppose if, you know, I was a rich person and I thought to myself, I'm going to do this just because I can, I'd have some aviary or something, some big space.
That sounds like you.
Ooh, you know what else I'd
Willie
have in
Wright,
there?
Extreme jackass billionaire.
You know what else I'd have in there? Egyptian fruit bats.
Really?
Because they're so cool. That's probably what I think, you know, outside of, you know, the normal animals that people generally interact with as pets. That's probably one of the coolest animals ever, the Egyptian fruit bat. They're cool looking. They're great flyers. Of course, they eat fruit. They're, you know.
Hence the name.
They don't, well,
they're not made of fruit.
They don't eat bugs is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Egyptian fruit bat uses echolocation as opposed to other bats of that type that don't. Because, you know, there's the small, I don't know if you could say microbats that use echolocation and everything,
yeah, yeah,
the ones we're all familiar with. But then there's the larger bats, and they're actually not...
They use GPS.
They're not part of the same group. They're different species, different whatever. But they have adapted similar, you know, flying abilities and everything else. And they don't generally use echolocation, but the Egyptian fruit bats do, which I find very interesting.
Let's see. When I was a kid, pets I wanted different. A lot I was into the idea of the very small, cuddly ones. When I discovered dwarf hamsters, way into that. They're like this big. They're like so tiny.
Even when they're adults, they're that small?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't get very big.
Tell totally the audience how big.
Like this big. This big.
Wow.
Yes.
That big.
And I think...
They can fit on the 3x5 card.
When they grow up, they get to be like that big.
Wow.
But they start off like this big. As opposed to a regular hamster like this big.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then
the mega hamster.
Is about mega ultra hamster is only legend.
The little hamsters combine.
Yes.
One mega ultra hamster.
There was a
Hamstertron.
There was a cartoon called Hamtaro that I used to watch in the morning. That's this weird Japanese thing. That's all these hamsters that, like, when the kids that own them, like, went to school or whatever, they would get out of the cage and, like, have adventures and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was the most adorable thing ever. I used to watch that all the time. I could see them forming into a giant Hamstertron.
Something about that just sounds that really funny.
Awesome.
I don't know why.
Form of Ultra Mega. And they do it like Voltron, too.
Form feet and legs. Form arms and body. Now form head. Oh, wow. Why does that sound so funny to me? I don't know. It just does.
And they pull out the blazing sword, and it's just like a piece of straw, right. And then they're chewing on the end.
That's good.
After they defeat the bad guy, they walk over and suckle on the little bottle thing. No, but I was like that when I was real little. I thought horses were amazing until I actually rode them.
I did want a horse when I was younger, but somehow I lost that. I mean, I still like them, but I don't
horses really and archery, have an interest in two things I really loved until I did them.
Huh. No, I don't.
And then not so much
I've ridden horses, and it's okay, but it, for some reason, I really wanted one when I was young, and then I didn't. I don't know what happened.
There's the adorable, like, there's a lot of things I want while they're babies, and then I'll give them away. Dogs tend to be like that.
People.
Pandas. Goats. I've recently just discovered. In general, I don't consider goats a super cute animal, except a baby goat. Baby goat, like, made me want to punch myself in the face with its cuteness. Like, so cute. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Slow loris. Sloth.
Sloth, right.
I always thought sloths would be good.
Sloths are pretty awesome.
The problem is they all poop and things. I always thought tribbles would be awesome.
What? No. No, you didn't.
Yeah, because they don't excrete, they don't bite, they don't nothing.
You're just making that
I actually have one. It's a... Trish got it for me, I think. Mm. It's a stuffed one. Yeah. Its thing is finally dead, but it used to have a thing you squeezed it and it would make the noise.
Yeah.
And inevitably, in the middle of the night, one of us would step on it and scare the crap out of ourselves. Bear. Baby bear. Baby tiger. Baby tiger. Oh, baby tigers are adorable. When I was... See, like, also as a kid, I thought Beastmaster was the coolest thing ever.
Really?
Dude, he had a panther, mm-hmm. he had a hawk, and he had two ferrets.
See, but... That's what I mean. Beastmaster, okay. Like you just said, all these animals, and all I can think of is, so what? Who cares?
He's got all these awesome. Animals? Panthers are awesome. I was
wondering. No, they are, but what's...
Because this is my pet panther. Dude.
I don't see what's so cool about that at all. Panthers belong in the wild. That's where they're happy.
This one.
With us watching them from a distance.
This one, whose name is... Gruel. Never could pronounce that
not
one
our
right.
friends and sitting
now
in
he's
our houses.
My friend and no. You should be nice to him and not say these
be.
Things
I will be nice
or he will maul your face off.
I'll let him live in the wild where he
belongs. Does not want that. He has grown accustomed to urban environments. Also, he has a very serious nicotine habit which would be difficult for him to deal with in the wild. The hawk, whose name I believe was, just flies. I mean, it can do that wherever. That's fine. But then it comes back here, and I have it on my arm, and look like a badass.
So, but what about the Tarzan cartoons? Did you like those too?
Or? No, because he just has a stupid monkey or
well,
chimp
he
or whatever.
He could call all the animals to his aid.
Yeah,
with his little call.
He always called the shitty ones. like. I recall Tarzan, like, he would call the chimps, and he would call the water buffalo, and he would call the elephants, which elephants are pretty cool. But, like, the serious, like, awesome ones.
Elephants are pretty cool.
Like, lion, like, most of the feline ones and stuff, he usually fought them. He didn't call them.
I see.
And I always thought, I've always been into the feline animals. I always think that they're cool.
No, yeah.
Jaguars, yeah. Cheetahs. Lions,
you know,
tigers.
Siberian tigers eat bears.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
I am not into violence, but I would kind of like to see a Siberian tiger and like a bear fight.
Siberian tigers eat bears and they scare away wolves. If wherever the tigers are, the wolves are not. What's that tell you?
In America, bear eat tiger. In Soviet Russia...
So,
I kid. Tiger still eats you. Bear goes home.
So really,
rides on little unicycle.
Tigers are, I mean, tigers beat everything on land. So the question is,
yes,
what would happen if you could figure out a way for a tiger to fight a shark?
Yes, no, this is the thing.
That's the thing. What do you do? Because now, of course,
or you give or sharks legs. Then yeah, it becomes like there.
Because naturally. You'd think the tiger has a little bit of an advantage on land, although I wouldn't be so sure because, boy, those sharks, when they're beached or whatever, they can still do some serious damage. But, of course, the tiger in the water is going to be at a tremendous disadvantage.
Yeah.
So there's no real way to conceptualize it so you can think.
I think If you shave the tiger and then you tie its back legs together so it's like a fin.
No, that won't work.
I don't think it will either, but I kind of want
to
try it.
I tend to think that the shark would win. I mean, no matter...
Did you ever want a pet shark?
No, I never wanted a pet tiger either, but...
If I had a pet tiger and you had a pet shark, we could make them fight. That would be a hell of a podcast episode.
The tiger thing has come up because my goddaughter loves tigers, and that's one of the reasons she likes them so much, because...
She thinks they could beat a shark?
Well, no, because if when you try to find what most biologists or whoever would consider is the
apex predator.
Yeah, it's a tiger because, I mean, tigers eat bears. Tigers scare away wolves. I mean, what can beat a tiger?
Tigers also eat Frosted Flakes, though.
Right.
My 4-year-old next door eats Frosted Flakes.
But, you know, the only debate...
You know why?
No.
Because they're
great. The only animal that there's any debate with in terms of a tiger is the polar bear. And I think the tiger can beat the polar bear. So on land, you've got the tiger, and it's like, okay, so this thing is great. And so she thinks the tiger's great. And so I've asked her, I said, but how would the tiger be against the shark? Now, she says tiger beats shark.
I think we graft a shark, take the dorsal fin off, and graft the back of the top of the shark to the back of the tiger, and then it just flips over when it goes from land to water, and we've created the ultimate predator.
Well,
tiger shark.
Tiger shark, which there already is a tiger shark. But
yes.
Another reason I think that the shark
and
tiger.
One of the, that was one of the several, Thundercats clones was the tiger sharks.
Tiger shark.
Yeah. And the silver hawks. Silver hawks a bit better known, but they were the tiger sharks, which were the same damn things in the water.
Well, another reason I think the shark would beat the tiger is because aren't there sharks that are so big, like their mouths can open so much? I mean, I don't know how big a tiger head is, though.
Sharks vary is the thing. Some sharks are not as impressive.
No, I know, but if you're going to pit a shark against a tiger, it's got to be the biggest shark you can find.
And the smallest tiger.
No. Biggest tiger, the biggest shark, great white or
now,
something.
What about shark versus tigger?
No. That might be
tiggers
humorous.
Tiggers are good bouncers.
A tigger's a wonderful thing, but yes. I don't think it would stand.
Tops are made out of rubber. Their bottoms are made out of delicious meat.
No shark. Yeah, I think a shark would win. You're betting on the tiger, though.
I don't know. I don't want to say yes because I feel like I would get. Retaliation from the shark community. So
I'd like our listeners to weigh in on this shark versus tiger.
But regardless, we know the true winner of that would be Mega Ultra Hamster.
Yes, that's
crush
not even
crush them both.
Yeah, that's not even fair. We can't even bring in Hamstertron. all fall to Hamstertron.
I will crush you in my giant hand made out of like 300 hamsters. No one can stand it. This is like the how many 5-year-olds could you take on kind of thing. So how many hamsters formed together into Mega Ultra Hamster would a shark be able to stand up against? It's really unfair because at a certain point you can just rip hamsters off and throw them as weapons. Like... We are way over time,
so we
should probably stop. But thank you, Craig.
Thanks, Craig. Sorry.
I beat you.
Sorry we just got one question in today.
But
my fault.
But it
again.
Was a good one. And we had some good conversation. And apparently, according to a recent new listener, we're very sweet.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
But you need to tell people how they can weigh in on the whole debate between a tiger and a shark.
And you should go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. You can talk about things there. A lot of people do. Sometimes it's interesting. Also, that is the primary method of communicating with the producer. Because she goes there, she says stuff, she defends her way of life. And sometimes even I say things, and sometimes William says things.
Sometimes
despite
I say
that,
snarky things.
You should go anyway and check that out. Go read it, even if you're not going to say anything. It's interesting. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. But more than that, write into the hat, because as you, despite what you see here tonight, that's where we get our content. So write the hat, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. I'm not going to say it twice, because I happen to know our end outro
says it.
It's built that way.
Yeah.
So enjoy this, and by which I mean the time when you're not listening, like the week in between. And we'll be back.
Next week.
Yes. Mega Ultra Hamster.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.